Good morning. Today is Wednesday, April the 7th. Joining us this morning is, well, let's see, I didn't use noted yesterday because Macaulay wasn't here. So noted real estate broker, ooh, Mark Mattioli.
Thank you so much, Brian.
This is like a repeat performance. But it's new and it's fresh. So don't leave. You haven't heard this one before. Morning, Mark.
Thank you. Good morning.
Are you ready for our question for this morning?
Kind of forgot about the question for this morning. I'll see what I can do.
All right. Well, this one's pretty straightforward. Why are Dalmatians the traditional mascots of firehouses?
We know that they are. Why are they? I don't know.
Long before Dalmatians became firehouse mascots, they were bred as coach dogs. Coach dogs were trained to run alongside horse-drawn carriages to help guard against highwaymen or robbers.
Excellent.
Because of the Dalmatians' ability to run long distances, its inbred love of horses, and its vivid coloring, it was a natural choice as the dog to run ahead of horse-drawn fire engines of the past, warning onlookers to clear the way. After the fire engine was motorized and the Dalmatian was no longer needed for its services, firemen honored the breed by adopting it as the firehouse mascot.
Wow. Can I tell an anecdote there?
Sure.
My grandfather lived right here in Eureka. Peter Joseph Rutledge was one of those guys that rode that fire truck.
Oh, shoo. I thought you were going to say bred Dalmatians.
No, he wasn't. Or was it? No, what they did in those days, is turn of the century, is they had different companies had horses. And in fact, the Quill family, my mother's side of the family, had horses. And these are big horses. And you know that those kind of breeds for which names forget me right here.
Like the Clydesdale.
One of them starts with a P, kind of like what the guy in Old Town uses too.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And so they would have 10 horses or 12. And you got paid that day at the fire if you got there first with your horses. Because they couldn't afford to have the city keep these kind of horses, and why they're only going to use once
right
in a while. So the bell would go off, really seriously, the bell would go off, and Company A and Company D would say, well, I want that business, and they'd chase and they'd run to the first guy got there to get the wagon, to hook up the wagon to take it to the fire, got paid that day. So it must have been exciting to see the horses go.
And a lot of horses nearby on ranches, yes.
Yeah, well, these are specialized horses. So. And then they would put out the fire in the best way they could. They had steam engines that...
Well, we see them every once in a while at the musters.
Yes, those things.
Those are kind of fun, yeah.
The kind of thing where you crank on both sides, guys are standing on it, and they're teeter-tottering the water. Lousy system.
But the
steam engine...
Could explain why there's not as many Victorians in the area as there have been historically.
That's probably exactly the reason. Go ahead, Brian.
Are there people, when they go either house hunting or purchasing for businesses, that ask for the history of the property? Not necessarily the building that's currently there, but what was this used for in the past? You know, did this have a fire? Was this...
Oh, yeah, well...
I mean, I'm thinking we could pick on the time standard because that's easy enough. You know, there was one of the Carson mansions was there.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that's kind of cool to know the history of what that site was.
Except
do people ask about...
Except the part about they tore it down.
Yeah, the knocking down part. Yeah, that was kind of rough.
It wouldn't happen today, but it did then.
Right, yeah. Right.
People want to know about the history of their property. I think that's one. The idea of a fire, though, is interesting. I'm actually dealing with a case. And as you know, you're selling a house in California, and the rest of the states are on this, too. You have to do disclosures. So if you had a fire in your house, that's a piece of information people want to know. Because, for example, it could affect the structure of the attic. It was repaired, but not very well, and boy, that really matters. So, as part of disclosure, you might learn about a history like that. Or, if there was a death on the property, this disclosures require disclosure about whether there's a death on the property.
Really? If somebody had, like,
the notion
100
is,
years ago died?
Well, that is the limit. It's a three-year limit.
Oh, okay.
So I think one of the things is people superstitious about, say there was a murder on a site. Ooh, that would be, I don't want to live in a house, there was a murder and blah, blah, blah. So that's a thing. But in our culture, American culture generally, people want not to die in a hospital or die at a rest home. They want to die at home. So there's a strong sense that I want to die at home. My mother, example, wanted to die at home. And so That's where she was able to, you know, spend her last days. And it was comfort to her to be able to do so.
Yeah, and so it isn't necessarily a negative thing.
No, but some cultures do see it as a negative.
If you see the outline in the yellow paint,
yeah.
It takes on a little different connotation.
Yeah, it makes you feel a little different about the culture.
Yeah. What about landscaping and things that are outside the building? Before we get into, you know, what's going on locally, does that stuff, you know, the quote unquote curb appeal, is that a significant element, or is that just kind of an accelerant to the sale?
Can be both. I mean, we had a listing where, and they hadn't mowed the lawn in 2 years, and it was 3 feet, 4 feet high around. We had to do something about that. So we ended up...
you want to be able to see the house.
Well, we hired that Redwood Teen Challenge to come over a day, and they sent five guys, and they just really took it down. It looked dramatically better. Yes, that could be that's the extreme. But in general, yes, you want to have your if you have a lawn mowed and brush, you know, neatly around the house, and that it looks attractive. Curb appeal is what you're talking about, and I think it matters. Yes, it does.
That's a big deal.
It's a fact.
Now, we've heard location, location, location.
Mm-hmm.
Accurate, or with the goofiness that's going on now, sometimes I would think that maybe being off the beaten path, not being in the most convenient place, could actually be a selling point for some folks.
Well, I think our community as a whole is getting that exact thing, right? We were getting lots of attention in our real estate, and I think it is because we are isolated. I think I was reading in the National Association magazine about how there's, the National Association Realtor magazine, how there's around the nation there's this flee from the cities.
That's a national thing.
There's a thing going on with this, and it's if you're in a big city and you're around people a lot, that you know it makes you feel uncomfortable because of the COVID thing. I'm thinking is the primary reason. You'd like to get away and stretch out. Summer homes are now being converted to primary residences. People would rather go out 60 miles from their current house and live there rather than their old house because of these situations. So your answer is, you know, that's it.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Mark Mattioli, Benchmark Realty.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Got a pitch out of that, didn't I?
Well, you're still waiting to change your license plate. But
would you please not
I figure it's happening. You got your business card, so what the heck.
I got a business card, right? Yeah.
you've trained your car where to go.
Yes.
So, okay. I mean, things happen gradually.
It's going the right way these days, yeah.
So what in the world is going on here? We had, I think last time we got together, we were talking about the fourth quarter and some of the, you know, the fleeing out of the city and all that kind of stuff. This is traditionally kind of the prep time for the coming selling season in real estate. Was there a respite, or did it just kind of keep chugging along?
Some of it's new that it's a mystery that the remarkable thing that happened after COVID, because at the beginning of COVID, we're all thinking, oh, well, here we go. We're going into a recession now. Real estate's going to be a drop and hang on.
Yeah, everybody's going to cocoon and stay where they are.
And people did, too. There's that. There's those who might have planned to make a move that year but did not, that year being 2020. And so, therefore, their house didn't go on the market, didn't become part of the inventory. So, thus, the inventory kept getting smaller and smaller, a remarkable trend. I got a nice graph here for you to see, is that in the year, let's see, the year Let's go back to January. Well, let's even go further back. Let's go back to July 2019. The amount of inventory was averaging around 500.
So about two years ago, there would be 500 choices.
Now, that's 500 on the market in the entire county of Homer. That'd be active single family only, not all listings. Then it drops, and by March of 2020, it was now at 280.
So about half.
Yes, yeah. Really. And then by July, this last summer, it was down to 250, and it has slowly trickled down to today's inventory has been wiggling around 125, which is just a remarkable thing when you think that it had been averaging at 500 and now it's 125.
So about two-thirds less choices.
And so when there is less inventory and the demand remains the same, and in fact, not only has the demand remained the same, we think there's been an increase in demand. And that shows by the number of houses that have sold most recently. And that is we're up to nearly 1,400 houses. Was that for the year? Looking like a 12 months consecutive.
So like a rolling 12 month. Yeah.
Rolling 12 months is near 1,400. And that means that we're above the normal. We're selling more, but then what is happening? That little bit of inventory that's out there, that we have high demand by buyers, and it's disappearing rapidly. The number of days on the market, Ryan, is just remarkable.
Of the others kind of make sense, but the days on market is intriguing.
125 houses on the market, and there's 250 buyers. Those houses are going to go rapidly. And so we have experienced the kind of thing you hear in the Bay Area or have heard where there's 12 offers. I'm not kidding. I participated in one. I was the loser. I have to confess, yes, ladies and gentlemen, I did lose one. That I lost one with 13 offers, of which five were all cash offers. And when you have a buyer getting a loan, even if it's 20% down, seller saying, and the other part about this, I jumped too far ahead here, but I'm ahead of myself. But the other part is that prices are going more than their asking price. This is a quite common thing, and it makes it difficult, of course, for appraisers and for realtors to figure out what should we put this thing on the market for, and then you get offers even higher than that. It's a really remarkable change. What are the reasons?
We've heard of some of those scenarios in the Bay Area in L.A., Vegas, when it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of sit back and, you know, as long as you have somewhere to go, you smile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you don't take the first or second day offer.
Yeah.
You wait just to kind of see what happens. Yeah. In the open houses, you get a lot of people coming through and a lot of interest. And traditionally here, you know, you might see three or four people in a four-hour open house wander through looking for the food.
Yeah.
And that might be about it.
Gee, I haven't had an open house in a while. I don't think it's a necessity. It's really remarkable.
Well, and that's that whole series of reference points now are gone. How do you educate either a potential buyer or a seller to go, okay, this is the norm. This is what we're doing. This is what your reality is today. May not have been when you bought 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
or 10, or 50, or whenever the house was initially. This is today's reality. Get ready.
Well, it doesn't actually take very long, because they'll make an offer on a house and find out that they're offered $10,000 less than asking, because their uncle always told them never to offer full price. Didn't work. So then they tried it the second time, and they went full price and learned that the house sold for actually many thousands over full price.
Two days ago.
Yeah. The third time around, twice burned. The third time around, they're a little more willing to understand that the market is what people are willing to pay, not what I'm willing to pay. So that's what's been happening too. So
now, is there a concern or a fear or a thought that this is like 06?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when there was the artificial stuff from the feds and you had to have this quota and this and all these things in play, and that it's just going to pop and disappear? Or is there a change that's happened?
I think you made a good observation, because the reasons that 2006 was the interest rate changes, and we had all that variable rate interest. People were buying down, and then they could not afford the higher rate, but they'd buy the house at the lower rate, which is slowly changing. What do they call those? They were not a fixed rate. They were a variable.
The adjustables.
The adjustable rate, yeah. And so pretty soon they found out that they couldn't afford that house, and we had a series, a long, big series around the country of foreclosures. A lot of foreclosures on the market, and it dropped the price of houses. And that was really not a happy thing for owners who already owned a house, and especially for those who bought one 2 years ago, and then that one was worth much less. Fortunately for us who do own a home, and you should own a home, this is a good idea, Brian. This is Mark Mattioli saying you should own a home. So do that. But if you did own a home, my gosh, it's become more valuable as you sit there.
And we'll talk about how age is a positive thing here, holding it on when we come back. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with realtor, broker, partner, Mark Mattioli. Not my partner, realtor.
Early you called me noted, but okay.
Okay. Well, there are flat notes and there are high notes, okay. So noted is not necessarily a positive.
Thank you, Brian.
Notable, however.
All right, thank you.
There you go. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Mark, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the escalating prices in the residential market. Yep. And I think that seems to be pretty commonly embraced. And you'd mentioned that some of the formerly thought of as summer homes are now becoming full-timers, whether it's Big Lagoon or Myers Flat or Willow Creek.
Well, you could say that.
Those are...
I don't think it's so much as here as it would be in the Bay Area where you're... in the Bay Area, and you'd like to get out. So you go to Tahoe or wherever your second home might be. You know, we are the second home. This is Humboldt County.
Right.
We are an attraction because we are isolated, a small town feeling. I think we're getting a lot of attention, and people are coming.
As second homes or as primaries?
No, as a primary home.
Okay.
That's what people are looking for, to get away from that intense activity and around, I don't live in the city, but I suspect that super contact with people, if people are worried about that, and they are, so maybe
fatigued with the commute.
Well, I think that's just one of the components of why people are coming our way. Another one is, and you talked about this, is this a societal change? And that is the idea of people working at home on the computer via Zoom and other features, and actually their job is connected to the Bay Area, San Francisco, Oakland, whatever. So they can work out of their home. Parents and employers, as well as employees, have seen that children are learning a lot and working out of, doing their work and doing Zoom. So Zoom has caught on more than it ever would have in such an early and fast time.
Yeah, I think the pressure.
The pressure created look at that. Why can't we do it? If we don't have to pay for this office space for Jerry and those five over there, why we can cut back on rent. I don't know. Things like that must be going on.
I would suspect, with the increased air access now down to the Bay Area, to L.A.
We're not the only one.
There's a little bit of that opportunity now for folks to touch base a couple times a month and then come back home.
It is true. But Fort Bragg's getting,
All the smalls in the area.
The smalls in the area, yeah, that's a good point. But then the other one, so we talked about the Zooming and the ability to work at home seems to be a new change, not brand new. I mean, it's been going on for a while.
New for our area,
yeah, but
certainly.
It's going on, it's growing. And then the other part is we know that people who were in fire areas, like, for example, the Paradise Fire, even in Santa Rosa Fire, have caused people to rethink where they want to finally settle there. And so I think we're getting attention to that. We did get a number of buyers who came over from Paradise. And we here around here know that.
That's right. You would know because you're talking to these folks.
We talk to these folks. Yeah. We do. And they, and so I think those are the three that we can identify of any significance of a change is the working at home group, the fleeing the city group, and now our fire fleeing group who would rather be in good old wet, rainy Eureka. Isn't it lovely?
What about the interest rates? We're hearing about, you know, with some of the stuff that's going on at the federal level, that it might start going up, et cetera, relative to where it has been.
It was a big motivator all last year because, I mean, when you go below 3%, that's ridiculous. That's the way you used to be able to buy a car. You know, they're advertising on television, low rates, 2.5%. You know, right. You can buy a house with 2.5%. That's just, wow.
Yeah, don't hold out for 0.9, though.
It was the government trying to motivate people to get the economy going again because they were concerned about it, and rightly so.
So with all of those factors coming into play and the reduced inventory or stock that we've got, you know, the basic equation in Econ 101 is supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got this increasing, might call it unfettered, but let's just say increasing level of demand.
Mm-hmm.
A shrinking supply,
mm-hmm. price goes up.
We slide it right up the P-axis, yep. And things are kind of going. Are they still going as goofy as they were last time we talked?
Well, this yes, definitely even larger change. As I said, I wrote an offer, and I will tell you that we wrote it for $50,000 more than asking. Did not get the house. And I recently wrote one for...
You might want to... we might have people driving off the roads now into the...
It's a big number. Any other realtor might tell you that they didn't get it or... Because, I mean, if there's 13 who made an offer...
Right. And that's not on a $2 million home.
That's not a $2 million home.
It's a good percentage.
Our mid-price range, 350 to 450.
So about 10 or 15% over.
That's the bell curve top there. Yeah. That's where most buyers are going to show up. And that is challenging to buy a house right now and makes us draw our breath and wonder, how are we going to do it?
So how does a prospective buyer then not necessarily know where to come in, but anticipate what they need? If I'm going to pre-qualify, what do I pre-qualify at? Max? So you've got that?
We're sort of struggling with that because if values are assumed to go down, and you're trying to talk your buyer into going higher than asking price, how's that going to look a year from now? In fact, if it did go below where we are today, so that's a hard ethical practice here. How are you going to do that? Except that they say, well, we really want to get that house. Okay, then here's what we're going to do.
If desire trumps all,
we're going to make an offer. And then, you know, the other part is if this is a serious growing trend and a long-term trend, then when you bought a $350,000 house for $400,000, and next year is going to be worth $425,000, and then $450,000. So
you're looking pretty good.
You're looking pretty good. So it is. It's one that we're all facing. I'm writing offers today on something, and I, how far do you get someone to go? But the facts are that the demand continues to be high, and the supply is less. Part of the reason is we talked about the. Those not deciding to go on the market last year because they're going to stay put. The stay putters caused, resulted in some decline in the amount of inventory coming. Then these other components, fleeing the fire and coming over to the coast, that new demand.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Mark Mattioli. Mark, so for folks now, if we're seeing increasing demand, restricted inventory, typically we would see a lot of building and new construction, but we're not seeing a lot of that, probably because of what you had alluded to earlier, a lot of the folks going down to Sonoma County, and tough time getting product. So I would think that with that, in addition to everything else you've talked about, that there may be another price spike going up in the next months as the demand continues to grow, mm-hmm. as the product availability continues mm-hmm. to be tougher mm-hmm. and tougher, mm-hmm. or the price goes up if mm-hmm. if you do have access to it. Is that kind of how you folks are anticipating this spring, summer going?
It's bad enough. I don't know if we want to predict it to be worse. But we were talking about commonly summertime is a time when people will make that move. The kids are out of school, blah, blah. Move here, move there. So there's
Moving going on. The fiscal years, too, mm-hmm. For some of the folks, yeah.
School is a funny thing because I'm not sure if they won't be going to school all summer to catch up. I mean,
right. They're different jurisdictions.
Actually opened the doors here, and with this new orange level, I think they're probably going to be doing more of that. So that's good stuff as far as I'm concerned. Good news that we can move away from that. Maybe it'll also... who knows the other impact? It might be that people are now willing to make a move, and we're holding tight, right. Not selling their house before. So I'm not good at predicting the future like that, but it's not a bad point, I guess.
Now, part of this also is all the reports that you guys have to do, mm-hmm. whether it's the appraisals or the market mm-hmm. analysis mm-hmm. or getting the roofers to do the roofs mm-hmm. if that's required, as part mm-hmm. of the escrow and things of that nature. Has that been a stumbling block, or do you just have to incorporate it into the timelines and escrows maybe a little bit longer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the appraisal component has proved to slow us down here all season, all this last year, because appraisers were competing with this very low interest rate thing, which resulted in a lot of refinances. If your interest rate is 5 and you can get something for 2.75%, you're going to refinance, and many did. So the appraisals, a bank requires that there be an appraisal for a refinance, and the bank requires there be an appraisal for a purchase. So those guys have really been far behind. They're getting 10 orders a day. It's really a challenge to keep up with their work, too. That was not really the root of your question. You wanted to...
It's taking more time. I'm wondering if somebody is anticipating putting their house on the market mm-hmm. sometime this year. Mm-hmm. Best to get an appraisal now? Benchmark on it?
You could do that, but I've been evaluating houses.
How long would it be valid for?
I have, in the most recent time, put a couple on the market that I appraised several months back. I reevaluated. I wanted to get a contemporary opinion. And as a result, one of them we went on 20 more than we did 2 months ago, 20,000 more. And another one we went on were 50 more.
Now, is that a valuation or is that a legit formal appraisal?
We realtors do what we call a comparative market analysis. We can't call it an appraisal. It's not necessarily an appraisal, but its system is the same. The procedure is the same. If these 5 houses sold for this, how do they compare with ours? And I try to adjust. No, that was more square footage. This one is less. This has a bigger lot. No, this is in better condition. So you try to adjust for all those kinds of features to come to a number. It's an opinion of value. And so in the end, the buyer will have to tell us, yeah, that's what it's worth to me. So, yeah, I have been, I think anybody putting a house on the market will find that they're going to be looking at the comparables, the pendings of a most recent time to try to get the best idea for their seller when they put a house.
Same thing with having a pest report done?
Well, a pest report is kind of long term. It'll be the same as today, tomorrow, and next.
So that could
year.
Be something you punch
you
out
could
early.
Do that. You should prepare yourself as a good seller if you're going to sell to get one of those reports.
As long as you know somebody who might be legit in that business that's recognized.
Well, now, come on, don't pick on that industry there.
No, I'm just thinking of one individual in particular that might be listening right now. All righty, Mark, thanks for coming by, bud.
Yes,
nice
sir.
To see you.
Enjoyed it. Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.